Let's take right up with where Charlie began in his last speech. He began by saying that prophets are still in the church, and his proof is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29 and following. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. Charlie, that proves that prophets were still in the church at that time, but not necessarily now. We already admit they were in there at that time, chapter 12 through 14. They definitely had prophets during that time, but chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, says that whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So there was, yes, they had prophets in the church at that time, but there's no doubt that this passage says that there will come a time when prophecy and tongues, so forth, these miraculous gifts, nine of them are mentioned in chapter 12, listed for us, they will be done away. That's what the text says. The only question is, when will they be done away? Now, Charlie said in our debate on this subject in 1994 that it would happen at the second coming of Christ. I was looking back at my notes on that a while ago. But the Bible teaches that it happens at that which is perfect, and that we've already shown that it's the complete, perfect New Testament revelation. And then, Charlie, in response to my Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12, where it says, the priesthood being changed, there's made also a necessity of change of the law. Now, the reason I brought that up is Charlie acted like God would never change on anything. And so I proved that He could change. He said there's a change of the law here. And so that proved Charlie's argument wrong. Now, instead of admitting that his argument was wrong, he went on to verse 24 and says the priest, Jesus' priesthood, is unchangeable. I agree with that. But the Levitical priesthood changed. That's the point of verse 12, and actually the whole law. But yes, Jesus' priesthood is unchangeable, Hebrews 7:24. We agree with that. But see, we also believe Hebrews 7, verse 12, which evidently Charlie doesn't believe. But you know, Hebrews 7:24 says that Jesus' priesthood is unchangeable, but it doesn't say the miraculous gifts are unchangeable. That's the question tonight. That's the issue we're debating. And 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10 says that tongues will cease, prophecy will fail. It says when? When that which is perfect has come. They're going to change. Even Charlie admits they'll stop at some time. We just disagree on when that which is perfect is. And then Charlie brought up the argument, and again, it's easy to show that it's a false argument. Just watch. 1 Corinthians 1:25, he says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And he says, the gifts are in the word of God, therefore they must endure forever. Well, let's try that argument out on the animal sacrifices. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Animal sacrifices are in the word of the Lord, therefore animal sacrifices will be applicable forever. So that's Charlie's argument. The word of the Lord endures forever, and the gifts are in the word, meaning we read about them in the word. Okay, well, let's try that on animal sacrifices. The word of the Lord endures forever. Animal sacrifices are in the word of the Lord, right? I can read about them. Therefore, according to Charlie's argument, we still have to do animal sacrifices today. The word of the Lord endures forever does not mean that everything we read about in the word is still applicable today. You don't have to build an ark because there's going to be a flood. You don't have to do animal sacrifices. You don't have to be literally, physically circumcised. These are all part of the Old Testament law, and that's why I brought in Hebrews 7, verse 12. And because of 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, those gifts had a temporary duration. We can see that. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he made an argument. He said, all I'd have to do is read just a little bit further, but he won't. He says, remember in verses 8 through 10 of 1 Corinthians 12, he lists out these nine spiritual gifts, miraculous gifts. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Yes, they were given to every man to profit withal. That's not the question. The question tonight is the duration. How long were they to last? Were they to last forever until the second coming of Christ? Or were they to stop when that which is perfect has come? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10 makes it clear that these gifts, prophecy, tongues, the miraculous knowledge, it says the parts will be done away when the perfect has come. That's all I'm saying tonight. They had prophets back then, yes. People could miraculously preach the word of God. God would tell them the words to say. Same thing with the tongues. But chapter 13 lets us know that they will end sometime. We've shown what that which is perfect is referring to, and so all we're saying is believe God. He said they would end when that which is perfect has come. Has the perfect come? Yes. So they ended. And then he brought up Mark chapter 16, verses 17 following. There we read about, well, they shall cast out devils, the believers, they shall speak with new tongues. He acted like that proved that we should still cast out devils, that we should still speak with tongues. Well, not necessarily. It doesn't necessarily prove that. All it says is that they, those believers, would cast out devils and speak with new tongues. I believe that they did. So we're agreed on that passage, what it actually says. I agree that they did. Mark 16, though, doesn't, again, it doesn't tell us the duration of the gifts, does it? It doesn't tell us how long they would last. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 30, we can see, and I think you would agree, that obviously tongues were not for all believers. Now, the believers, some of them, 1 Corinthians 12, 30 is talking about some would prophesy, some had tongues, different things. The gifts were spread out among the believers. Charlie does not believe that tongues will last throughout eternity. As I said, he said they would end at the second coming. Mark 16, 17 then does not tell the duration of the gifts. Verses 17 through 18 only say that signs would follow the believer sometime after the Great Commission was given by Jesus. Verse 20 shows that it did occur just as Jesus said that it would. It did occur. It says the signs follow the believers. Many places in Acts, beginning in chapter 2, also show that that occurred. It's confirmed. So again, this passage does not tell the duration of the tongues. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, and Zechariah 13, 1 through 4 do. Why doesn't Charlie, if we're talking about, and this debate is over the duration of the gifts, meaning how long would they would last, should they continue today, all Charlie does is go to passages that talk about the gifts. I'm in agreement with him 100%. He hasn't gone to a single passage that tells us how long the gifts were to last. Not one time has he gone to talk about that. The passages are, Charlie, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. Zechariah 13, 1 through 4. Those are the passages that tell us the duration of the gifts. Zechariah 13, as we pointed out, say that they will stop sometime during the time period of the first coming of Christ, not the second coming of Christ, as Charlie would say. 1 Corinthians 13 says, verses 8 through 10, that these miraculous gifts would stop at that which is perfect. That is, the complete, whole New Testament revelation. Not at the second coming of Christ, not at the end of the world, nothing like that. And then Charlie went back to James 1, verse 17. Again, Charlie did not respond to what I said about James 1, 17. He just repeated his argument. In James 1, 17, with emphasis on the end of the verse, he says, "With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." His argument is again this. Well, God doesn't change His mind. Therefore, we must still have the gifts today. Now, we asked about that before in my last speech and didn't respond. Okay, God doesn't change His mind. Therefore, we still have animal sacrifices. How would that work? That doesn't work. As Mark, my friend here, pointed out to me, God has never changed His mind about when He would take the gifts away. He's never changed His mind about that. He's always intended to take the gifts away when that which is perfect has come. He said He would do it when the perfect would come, 1 Corinthians 13. And when the perfect came, God took them away. He didn't change His mind. He did exactly what He said He was going to do all along. He said, "I'm going to take the gifts away. They will stop when that which is perfect has come." And when the perfect came, the complete New Testament, He took them away. He never changed His mind. Charlie's actually the one accusing Him of changing His mind. The Bible says He predicted He would take them away when that which is perfect has come. The Bible predicted in Zechariah 13 that He would take out the true prophets during the time period of the first coming of Christ. But Charlie's saying, no, He must have changed His mind. The perfect has come. The time period of the first coming of Christ is long since gone. But God didn't do what He said He was going to do. He didn't take the gifts away. Now, I've answered every point that Charlie put up in his last speech. We've shown that every one of them were completely baseless. You could take his reasoning and prove that animal sacrifices for today. That shows you how incorrect Charlie was. Now, let's turn back and review my proofs for this doctrine. Now, as I said in the last speech, the Bible is clear on this matter. If you'll just read 1 Corinthians 13 and Zechariah 13, you'll see it's very clear that the gifts have ceased. Now, the only question is, do you love God enough to accept what He says about it and to obey it? You see, a lot of people just want to have these gifts. And so instead of obeying God, they just keep the gifts, even though He said they've been done away. It's like a child. The parent says, no, put the toy up. You can't play with it right now. The child has to make a decision. Is he going to obey his parents, Or is he going to keep playing with the toy because he enjoys it? That's your choice tonight. You want the gifts, evidently. Why else would you be doing it? Because the Bible clearly says that they've been done away. Now, the question is, we're testing your love for God. Jesus said in John 14 and 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love him, you will obey him. If you love him, you will accept what his word says in 1 Corinthians 13 and Zechariah chapter 13. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Luke 6:46. It's up to you and your heart. Are you 100% committed in following God and his word? Are you willing to do what his word says even if you don't like it? That may be a question. If you like these gifts, then you're going to have to give them up even though you like them because God said. So it's a question of whether or not you love God the most or a man the most. It's a question of whether or not you love God the most or something you want to do the most. 1 Corinthians 13 is clear. Let's look at it. Charlie acts like there's no verse in the Bible that says that the gifts would ever cease. Well, what's this verse doing in the Bible then, Charlie? Charity, it says, never fails. Charity never faileth. That's the thing that never stops, never fails. Verse 8. He says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. This is a prediction of something that was to occur in the future for when Paul wrote this. It's not true that the tongues would just continue on forever. Paul said they would stop. They would cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect or complete is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I didn't write that. I didn't make it up. The Bible clearly says it. Charlie acts like it's not in here. That's not a question about whether or not they would cease. The only question is, when would they cease? Well, it's identified. It says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. Well, he's already said what's in part, the miraculous knowledge and the prophecy. The tongues shall fail, cease, in verses 8 and 9. When would that which is perfect is come? We've already shown from the context that it can't be referring to the second coming of Christ. It has to be referring to the complete New Testament revelation. How did I know that? The same way you knew in Luke 11:36 that when it said, having no part dark, it was talking about part of the body because he'd just been talking about the whole body. You knew because the part had to be the part of the whole. And since the whole was the whole body, then it had to be talking about the part of the body. Same way you can tell here. Perfect is not identified for us in verse 10. But we know it's set in contrast or distinguished from the part in verses 8 through 9. Now, what's in part? Is it a partial second coming of Christ? No, it's miraculous knowledge. It's prophecy. It's the means. Isn't that the means? Aren't these some of the means by which God revealed His New Testament law? Miraculous knowledge, tongues, prophecy. It is, isn't it? I'm right on that, aren't I? You already agree with that. These are the means by which God revealed His New Testament law in part. They didn't get it all at one time. The sermon would have to be, I don't know, at least 72 hours long to get it all at one time. So He revealed it in parts, miraculously, until the perfect, until the whole, until the complete was come. In other words, they needed these means, the miraculous way of getting this New Testament law, until God's plan was complete. His New Testament law was complete. All written, all the books written, all put together so that you and I can use this to check what the preacher says and tell if he's teaching the truth. That's what Paul's point is. We've got it. So there's no need for the things in part. It'd be like saying, when you build a building, we put scaffolding up to help us, Mr. Purcell, put the bricks up all the way to get too high if it's a high building, or to put the windows in. We have scaffolding. But when the building's complete, do you still need the scaffolding? No. The temporary thing that you needed to get the complete done, you take it away. You don't need it anymore. That's all Paul's saying here. He's saying the gifts are like the scaffolding. You don't need people to miraculously tell you New Testament law, New Testament truth, when you've got the whole thing right here. Yes, you need it before the New Testament is complete. You need it, and it's confirmed by the signs. So you know the preacher is preaching the truth because he can do a miracle to prove that what he's saying is from God. But once you got the whole thing, you can check on your own to see if the preacher is preaching the truth. You can look it up in your Bible and check him out like the Bereans did in Acts 17, verse 11. That was done with the Old Testament, as it says. But you don't need the signs anymore to confirm the preacher. You got the Word to figure out if he's preaching the truth. Reviewing Zechariah 13, what did I do? How much time do I have, Mr. Souter? When you go to Zechariah 13, why don't you just look at it for yourself? It's not really that hard. It's not really that hard. Do you remember I pointed out from chapter 11, verses 12 and 13? This is quoted in the New Testament to say, you know when that was fulfilled? When Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You can go to John 19 and see that chapter 12, verse 10 was fulfilled when they pierced Jesus after he died. You know when Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 is talking about, in that day there should be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. That's obviously a figurative expression talking about Jesus' blood being shed to pay for our sins. It's a fountain. It's not like a little trickle of water. It's a fountain. It's so much it'll cover the sins of everybody who's ever lived. And then in chapter 13, verse 7, Jesus himself quotes that in Matthew 26, and we gave you the reference for that and read it. The night before his death, it said, this is fulfilled today or tomorrow, whenever it was. I'm the shepherd. I'm going to be smitten and the sheep are going to be scattered, meaning his disciples were going to be scattered. Jesus is saying everything in this context was fulfilled in the time period of the first coming of Christ. Now, right as my father-in-law would say, smack dab in the middle of this, in Zechariah 13, verse 2, it says, in that day, I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. They shall no more be remembered. I will also cause the prophets, the unclean spirit, to pass out of the land. Now, lest you think that's talking about the false prophets, no. Read verses 3 and 4. In a highly figurative way, and the whole passage here is figurative, he's saying, no, there'll still be false prophets out there. People claiming to be a prophet, but they should be ashamed. They're false prophets. He's talking about the true prophets. They'll pass out of the land of the Messiah's rule, meaning there won't be any prophets among God's people, because as we've seen in 1 Corinthians 13, the prophecy shall fail, the tongue shall cease. When will that happen according to this text? In that day. When is in that day? We've seen from the context, it's quoted three or four times in the New Testament to prove it's the time period of the first coming of Christ, not the time period of the second coming of Christ. How could God make that any plainer? Charlie really has not responded to that at all. I'm not sure, it's not his fault, it's my fault, I'm not sure he's understood the argument. And that just means I have not made the argument clear enough. Please listen to me. You can understand it. Read the passage. I'm trying to clarify now so you can understand it. Because it's obvious once you see it. When is that day? It's obviously the time period of the first coming of Christ. What will happen in that day, that time period? The prophets, the true prophets, will pass out of the land. Out of the land of the Messiah's rule. Yeah, they'll be out in the world, the false prophets. We're not saying that. There'll be idols out in the world. But there won't be any idols or any true prophets in the land of the Messiah's rule. There are no idols among true Christians. There are no prophets among the true Christians. There are only idols among people who are not serving the Lord. There are only prophets among those who are not really serving the Lord. They're false prophets. You see that? When would that occur? In that day, in the time period of the first coming of Christ. Either that's so, or Jesus lied when he said Zechariah 13, verse 7 is fulfilled in that day. Either that's so, or John lied in John 19 when he said Zechariah 12, 10 is fulfilled now. Either that's so, or Matthew lied in, I believe it was chapter 27, when he said that Zechariah 11, 12, and 13 was fulfilled when Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Either they're all lying, or this is right. I've proven my proposition. Now look at these two passages. There are only two passages in the Bible that tell us the duration of the gifts. Both of them teach that at this time in 2004, they're long since gone. We certainly believe the gifts were operational back then. We believe that 100%. But we also believe Zechariah 13 and 1 Corinthians 13 that there was going to come a time when they would stop, when that which is perfect has come, during the time period of the first coming of Christ. That has already occurred. Why can't you love God enough to accept what he has said? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Are you willing? I've given you what the text clearly say. Are you willing? Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Hebrews 5, verse 9. He has told us that these gifts are now no longer operational. Are you willing to obey him? If not, you will not. You'll just be wasting the sacrifice of Christ. He died for you, but you won't receive, you won't appropriate the benefits of that sacrifice because you were not obedient to him and his word. It's up to you. I can't twist your arm. All I can do is show you clearly what God has said. Do you love God enough to accept what he has said clearly and obey it? Thank you very much for your time.